If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the light and love to the most radiant one, the Christ. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. This evening our topic is staying true to yourself in a post-Google world. You know, when I was thinking of what to call my show tonight, I was thinking originally of calling it God Boxes and Belief Systems Tremble and Topple Before Inscrutable Infinity. But it was too long. Anyway, that is exactly what we're going to be looking at. How to maintain true to our galactic cosmic sense of self as starseed in a world in which we are so completely exposed and revealed by a simple click of the mouse and any search engine. Everything that we are or have said or have emailed is out there. Talk about coming out. We are so out that we're, we've got to find a place for ourselves in this world. And that's what we're going to be looking at tonight. So let's start, as usual, with a meditation. Take a deep breath. And call yourself forward into the heart of God, which is your heart, which is where you live eternally. And nothing can separate you from the love and presence and heart of God. You live and move and have your being in infinite immortal love. You are infinite immortal love, extending eternal love into temporal form as a human being. The human is the God-man, the one who can consciously know its own divinity. How precious is that as a mission statement? I am the one extending God's heart from eternity into time to embody and make known immortal love. And yet, beloveds, that's absolutely the quintessential truth of who you are and what you are and the function you've been designed to fulfill. So as you take a deep breath, purpose in your heart mind that you are connecting to that vaster knowing, that higher self, that higher call upon your life, crafted, designed, and sung forth in the living Word of God into human form. And each time you take a deep breath, breathe in more of that cosmic, infinite love in which you live like a bird in the air, like a dolphin in the deepest of seas. You live and dwell in the glory
of your Creator. In fact, you are the glory of your Creator. So, most of us, as we meditate, go to those eternal questions that everybody asks in some way. Who am I? Where have I come from? Why am I here? Where am I headed? And what is the destination to which I am heading? And if there's a destination, how do I arrive there intact, safely, with the certainty that I'm following the correct guide, that I am accessing truth? Every single being that's at all developed to the stage where they are inquiring into the deeper things of life, ponder these questions. In fact, the definition of true meditation is just this very series of questions. When you contemplate, when you ponder these things, you are truly meditating. People try to still their minds. You might just as well try to herd 100 cats as to try to still your mind. Your thinking mind is designed to gather data, to interpret it, and to feed it back to your personality, your human self, and letting you know how to function here in terms of survival, and discerning the things that are going to work for you in the physical world. So the mind is always out there gathering data. That's its nature. So leave your thinking mind alone. Let it gather data. But you are not your thinking mind. You are that divine observer. You are the witness of the one who thinks. You are the witness of the one who moves about in a physical body in time and space. You are the witness of the one who has emotions that change like the weather and moods that change like the cloud formations. You are the one behind all of these things. Have you met yourself? That vast yourself that doesn't change with birth and death, that one who moves through experiences and remains unaffected, untouched, unmarred? Have you met that one? I mean, really, who are you? You know, Oprah had an amazing show today. It was about the Brazilian healer, John of God. And on the program, she interviewed several guests who had traveled to Brazil and had been operated on by John of God. I'm sure you must have heard of him. If not, Google him and you will. And one of the guests was a very interesting man. He was a doctor, a surgeon, a director of medicine, and the department of psychology of some hospital that I forget now, but one of the big ones. He was also a skeptic and an agnostic, which means someone without any belief. And the doctor went to observe John of God and was allowed to sit right next to him as he was performing the surgeries, which were quite bloody and quite graphic. And his thought was to expose the fraud he had expected to find. But instead, as he was walking away from observing absolutely amazing things, one of the things he saw was a woman with her head lying back in the lap of John of God as he performed the scraping of her cornea of her eye without any form of anesthetic. She was wide awake. He was using a knife. And yet she didn't blink. She didn't flinch. She was asked if she experienced pain, and she said no. And everything he saw absolutely blew all of his beliefs, all of his worldview, all of his understanding totally out of the water. And one after another, he watched these operations and these different things, and most of the people felt no pain. The people who did experience some discomfort said that they were in deep peace. It didn't somehow cause them to be afraid. But as he was walking away from the healing venue back to his quarters, he felt something wet under his shirt. He pulled up his shirt and looked. And there in the area of his heart, there was an incision, and blood was dripping down his stomach. And he said he became afraid, because it's been said that those who just sit in the audience, some are worked on physically, and some, while they're sitting there in prayer, because it's a very prayerful, reverent environment, those who are sitting there in reverent prayer sometimes are healed and sometimes are operated on without John of God ever touching them. And here was this surgeon, this doctor, and he had this unexplained incision in the air of his heart and blood dripping down under his shirt. And he was afraid. Now, when he returned from this experience, his whole life was transformed, and his belief, his worldview was completely turned upside down. Now, a humble believer who admitted he saw and experienced things for which he simply had no explanation and no answers. And what he did discover is that we human beings are more precious, more unique, and more special than we have ever imagined, and that we were infinitely loved, and that the things we believe are real and solid because we can see them physically are only the smallest portion of an even greater life beyond the physical dimension, about which we know virtually nothing. So we are all like that. We think we know who and what we are. And we're even arrogant enough to think we understand who God is, or who Christ is, or what the plan of God is, or the will of God. And we're spiritual infants. We see so very little. We understand so very little. Why, even our dog and our cat sees more and hears more than we see and hear. Even a dolphin has a unified brain that matches and transcends human intelligence, we're told. How can we comprehend ourselves with any degree of humility if we dare to suggest that we have all the answers? There are many today that are convinced and would be more than willing to tell you the truth and what you need to believe to be safe and saved and loved by God. How arrogant, when you stop to think about it, could anyone be to suggest that they know all the answers for you? I do believe with all my heart that God has written a holy scripture and inscribed it on every single cell of our being. And that scripture that's inscribed for us can be read only by each individual because it's personal and unique to each one of us. That's why we must go within to the inner teacher of truth, the Spirit of the living God, who dwells inside you as his living temple. And we need to sit in that presence and allow it to reveal the living Word of God to us. People put so much stake in the written letter of the law. They are much like the Pharisees to whom Jesus came and said, "You know all the things about the law, but you know nothing at all, really speaking, about the heart of God." And you make people worse sinners than yourself. And he called them white, bleached sepulchres filled with the stench of dead men's bones. And sons of the father of lies. And vipers. Not exactly sweet words from the Lord of love. But lest we be too harsh on the Pharisees of 2,000 years ago, let us remember that there's an inner Pharisee that upholds the law and makes it more important than the grace and love of God. That's the inner Pharisee that is so careful to dot every I and cross every T and keep every little tiny unimportant detail, but misses the living love of the living God standing before them in every single human being. When we make scripture, when we make books, when we make doctrines and dogmas more important than loving that human being in front of us, the very incarnation of a son, daughter of God, then we're in the same category as the Pharisees, who absolutely could not recognize the Messiah who stood before them. But get this, they accused him of doing his miraculous healings through the power of Satan, even though he's right there fulfilling 323 prophetic scriptures that were fulfilled by one single individual in all of history, the Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth. 323 that are recorded in the book of Isaiah, the Dead Sea Scroll copy of the book of Isaiah, which is word per word, absolutely accurate, was found in the Dead Sea Scrolls in, I think it was 1947. So we know that that is accurate, absolutely. And then the Psalms of David. And there's other references, I believe, in the book of Daniel. I have to ask Jack Van Empe. He's the walking authority of remembering the scriptures and where they're located and what they say. But Benny Hinn wrote a very good book in which he took all of those 323 prophetic scriptures and wrote them in a book about them, about Jesus. I forget the title of it. But you wonder how anybody could read the Torah and the prophecies of the Hebrew prophets and miss the fact that their Messiah came. and they didn't recognize him. Why? Because they were blinded by their God boxes and belief systems. And they didn't have enough awareness to tremble before inscrutable infinity embodied as the Lord Jesus the Christ. So that is the way of arrogant man. But, you know, belief systems, all of them without exception, are a form of nursery school for intellectual and spiritual infancy. They are like isolates of comfort and security blankets to hide under before inscrutable infinity. I mean, contemplate infinity. Go out sometime, hopefully in an area where you can actually see a vast skyscape filled with innumerable worlds, which the ancient scriptures, before they were doctored, let's say, and dumbed down, where they all say that God created life upon all the worlds. All the worlds contain life. Intelligent life everywhere. You look up at just the third dimensional sky. You cannot count the stars, the universes, the galaxies. And we're continually discovering more. So where we thought we had come to the end of our universe, we find more. Hello? There is an inscrutable, infinite life ever unfolding from the Creator, the creative intelligence. You know, so many things today that people speak against as being of the devil, quote, quote, were openly taught and believed by the ancient Christians, the ancient people of God, like reincarnation, for example, which is still taught in Orthodox Judaism, certain segments of Orthodox Judaism. It's still taught by the Coptic Egyptian Christians, which were the first Christian church, the Coptic, not the Roman, but the Coptic, and was taught by all the ancient peoples. And yet today that's supposed to be inadmissible. The teaching of life on other planets, the understanding of spaceships. How would you describe Merkaba to an ancient people where someone is suddenly caught up in a fiery whirlwind of energy and disappears from your midst? What is Merkaba in Hebrew? It translates roughly as chariot. So when Elijah was carried by a flaming chariot into heaven, that would be described today as transdimensional relocation via Merkaba interaction in the Zohar body. And the same for Enoch, who was caught up with God and knew not death. How could that happen? He was transdimensionally relocated via Merkaba. Now what about those wheels within wheels that Ezekiel saw? That would be described today as an encounter of the fourth kind, or perhaps the fifth kind, because he was taken aboard. Oh no, that was taken out of the Bible, the good part, but it still remains in the apocryphal book called The Keys of Enoch, which go into the understanding of the celestial hierarchies of myriads of godlike beings that serve the supreme Godhead. Oh, we hear about the Greys and the Dracos and the Reptilians and all of that stuff. The Anunnaki and blah, blah, blah. But if you read the apocryphal scripts, particularly the Keys of Enoch, and Dr. J.J. Hertak's done an excellent job of correlating that with the Book of Revelation and the deeper understanding of Scripture. He's a true cosmic theologian and prophet. Revelatory prophet of the Scriptures, has innumerable tapes and I suppose DVDs and CDs now on these deeper understandings that go into the biblical Scriptures. But what we have lost are the original names for each of the manifestations of the Godhead, the various lineages and orders, the specific councils of light, and the brotherhoods that administer the divine ordinances of the Most High. We have lost the function by the generic term used in most modern translations of the Bible, where they use God and Most High, or the Almighty God. But they miss all the nuances of the name. When you miss the nuances, you subscribe to a very limited understanding of the functioning of the cosmos, and you completely negate the hosts upon hosts upon hosts of celestial men and women and divine individualities, as they're called, who administer cosmic affairs. They're not just angels. Angels are the servants of God, but they strictly stand in a subordinate position to the human. The human being is enabled to sit with Christ Jesus in an administrative, judicial position in the sorting out and administering of God's throne realms and domains. The angels stand in a subordinate position of servitude. They do not sit in the presence of God. They stand at the ready. At the ready of who? At the ready of your command. Because when you know how, you direct the angels. Your word, which must be in harmony with God's will and the written word and the inner word of God, the two, the inner and the outer, need to match. That is how you speak to an angel, and it fulfills that which God's word has imparted and implied. It will only obey God's word. And yet there's nothing taught in the average Bible-based church about the spiritual hierarchy. You have angels and you have demons. You have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But even in the understanding of the Trinity, there is no understanding of the office of the Christ and the order of Melchizedek and the 144,000 ascended masters who basically form the heads of all world faiths. Every world faith has as its head a member of the order of Melchizedek and a true son-daughter of God. Sometimes they work in a trinity. In fact, they usually work in a trinity. And there are myriad of trinities and myriad of principalities and powers of the positive realms of God that are holding divine functions intact in the cosmos. And they're far more powerful than the Dark Lodge. So it's important to not let yourself as a starseed here on Earth assignment be daunted or intimidated because of a lack of understanding of the average person, including all of those who profess a religion. I mean, do you really feel safe to come out as yourself, as a interdimensional, multidimensional, galactic ambassador here on Earth assignment? I mean, do you? How many people do you say that to? I mean, I didn't know any better since I was a child, and I always remembered coming from a planet other than Earth. I never felt shy about saying I came from another planet. I remembered coming here in a spaceship. I remember my people left me. I remember what it was like living in that world. I remember we could fly and we could materialize things by thought. It was very beautiful, and everyone was pure love. Nobody acted ugly. And what they thought and what they said and what they did was one and the same. They didn't have one thought and say something else. They didn't have one feeling and then do something totally the opposite like the people on Earth. I found people were very, very, very confused on Earth. They were like amnesiacs and totally schizophrenic because none of them were consistent in being who they were inside, outside. I saw that when I was 5 years old, for heaven's sakes. And then by the time I hit 6 and 7, I became really withdrawn because I realized that these people were totally, totally asleep. Not only were they asleep, they were not to be trusted because none of them spoke truth. None of them were at all aligned with truth such as I knew it. And as I would try to explain my past lives and things that I experienced and seen, I can distinctly remember some of the people that I was talking to. They'd look at me and they'd say, "Well, dearie, you certainly have a vivid imagination," or "you tell the most wonderful stories." It would irritate me so much as a child how they would patronize and talk down to me. Don't ever do that to your children. Please don't. So many of these children are, at 2 years old, speaking cosmic mysteries. You know, we have some of the cream of the celestial realms taking embodiment now on Earth. And don't even think of having an abortion. Don't even think about it. Don't even think about it. Some of the greatest souls in the heavenly realms are seeking spiritual people to incarnate through. And they don't care if you're married or not, okay? That's man's device. That piece of paper doesn't mean doodly squat. If a soul from the higher realms is destined to come through you, whether you're 12, 13, 15, 25, 45, or 65, you better make every effort you possibly can to bring through that divine soul, because it has a position that God has sent it to fulfill. And it doesn't come in because it's convenient for you. It comes in because of cosmic timing and its own divine destiny. So Cosmic Mama is speaking very strongly to you tonight, but I have a right to do that. I was sent to oversee and guide and speak into your lives because that's who I am and that's what I do. So we really need to remain humble. Humble before the greatness of our Creator. Humble before our own greatness, and humble before this amazing creation. And if we do that, we will be open enough to have more revealed to us. And we need to continually bear in mind and recognize that as much as we think we know, we're all spiritual babies in the very infancy of expanding our divine awareness. And, you know, truth speaking, there's very little we actually know about life, the universe, other life forms, our own selves. And we know practically nothing about God. And, you know, we're in the Joel 2 days. Some of you haven't a clue what that means. Joel was one of the minor prophets, and in the second chapter of his prophecies in the Bible, he is speaking on behalf of God. And basically he said, in the days in which we're now living, it was written in those days, which whenever it says in those days, it means today, just before the return of the Christ. In those days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your old men will dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Upon my servants, male and female, I shall pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. What it means to prophesy is to have a direct revelation from the Holy Spirit, the divine spirit of the living God, that reveals things that could not possibly be known in the human carnal mind or through the familiar spirits that occupy the lower dimensions closest to Earth. It's a direct divine revelation. And yet, it's being poured forth on all flesh. It didn't say just upon the church, just upon Christians, just upon people who have accepted Jesus. It says all flesh. That means that the author who inspired all scripture, without exception, is still inspiring revelatory, scriptural understanding today. God never stops speaking. He is the most loquacious of everything that ever was, every creation he ever created, because he never stops speaking. And when he speaks, the heavens keep expanding, that the scientists say are expanding at the speed of light, which, coming from an infant, you know, an intellectual infant, which we all are, we can only go, wow, that must be amazing. But do we understand it? Of course not. Who can understand that? But bear in mind that God is no respecter of persons. In the Bible, there's even a story where God spoke through a donkey, because that's the only way he could get the attention of the guy on his back. So, there are many stories also in the Vedic teachings where animals spoke. So let's not be so proud to think that we're the only ones God can speak through if need be. God can speak through anyone, anything, at any time. So you better discern the spirits to know if that's really of God. Now, it also says that the eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the earth, seeking those to whom their hearts are in right relationship toward him. How do we have a heart in right relationship to God? We have a humble heart. We have a teachable spirit. We have a desire to know the truth. That's a heart that's right towards God. If you're all filled up with yourself and your own ideas, that's a closed heart and a closed mind. So, because of this great outpouring, the divine spirit is speaking today to anyone who's able to receive new prophetic revelations. And these new prophetic revelations are actually forming the new scriptures that will be of these times, not 2,000 years ago. This is a new word and a new revelation for the new age that we're moving into. And you know what? Our stories will comprise the new biblical characters in this new scripture that's being unfolded. Yeah, just think about it. We won't be talking about Mary Magdalene and Mother Mary and Peter, John, Paul, and all those guys and ladies. We'll be talking about Joe and Mary and Sam and all these different people who are walking on the earth today. Tom, Dick, and Harry. So, think about it. You know, just put that in your pipe and smoke on it for a while, because it knocks my socks off when I think about that sometimes. It's like, good heavens, what a call we have on our lives. What a call of God. So how to be yourself. You know, in the long run, what matters is to be true to your own knowing, your own revelation of what is so, your own direct experiences. Be true to what you know today while maintaining an open mind to the new experiences and revelations of tomorrow. I think this is a very practical approach to life. People sometimes are afraid to trust themselves. If you don't trust yourself, you're not going to trust anyone else. So be true to yourself. The reason you don't trust yourself is because you're trying to be true to the God of opinion out there. But you know what? The opinion is just like a nose. Everybody's got one, but you can only follow your own nose because it's right in your face. It's the one thing that pokes out of your face is your nose. So you can't follow another person's opinion. You can take their counsel. You can discuss things with them. You can debate. But boy, the things you know are the things you've walked out, the things that you have experienced directly. Those are the things you know that you know that you know. But again, experience is always filtered and conditioned by what you are willing to accept and open up to. So experience only goes so far. At some point, you will transcend what you think of as your experience to go more into the realm of direct divine revelation. But for now, as you know, you get into being confident in your own self without having to bow down to somebody else's edicts. You know, when you get that confidence going, then you can begin to expand and go into those places where God says if you call out to him, that he will show you great and wondrous things that you don't know anything about yet. But, you know, you have to have that basis of self-confidence and self-trust going, which you will if you develop the courage to be true to yourself and you quit trying to lie to yourself or compromise yourself. This is how you develop, distrust. So just quit doing that and be true to yourself. And you know what? It's not safe to reveal everything to everyone. I think we need to realize. I've often said that my life is an open book and that I have nothing to hide from anyone. Well, you know what? That's not exactly true. Because I, like everyone else, we all have those areas where we feel it's inappropriate or not safe to share certain things about ourselves. You know, there are there's many of those people, places, and things where it's wiser for us to withhold information, to just keep quiet, you know, zip it where it's not safe. And you know, we learn to discern people to see if they have any kind of an openness to higher understanding. You know, when people are closed down, they'll tell you by body language. They will avert their gaze, They'll look down, they'll look around, they'll look at their watch, they'll look at their iPhone or their iPad or whatever the gadget is they have in their hand. They will stop to take a phone call, which I think is so rude. They will shift their weight on their feet. They will turn away from you. They'll cross their arms over their chest. And they'll change the subject. Those are all signs that that person doesn't want to hear what you have to say. Don't waste your breath. You're not going to convince anyone. You know, Shakespeare said, a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. So we're not here to convince anyone. We're here to live our own life and be true to ourselves. If you do that, your own life will be the biggest testimony that you could possibly give about God. It's the only testimony and the only thing we really have to give. You know, it's our own life lived out loud, lived out large. So live out loud, live out large. Be who you are. You know, learn to live large in a small-minded world. And embrace of your own worldview. There's all these worldviews out there. There's nothing to say that you have to subscribe to any of them. You can make your own worldview. In fact, we all do, unless we just totally sold out and bought into some singular belief system. But I don't think we can do that as multidimensional beings. Have you noticed that within any given topic, you can have 10 different multidimensional viewpoints on the same subject, depending on which level you're looking from? People often get confused with inconsistencies that they see or think they see in teachers. But if you're a multidimensional teacher, you don't have one point of view about anything, because depending upon the level of consciousness that you're speaking from and that you're addressing, your message is going to be slightly different. Now, the principles remain constant, the spiritual principles, which would be the overriding, for example, God is love, okay? But there are many, many ways that you can speak love into someone's life through that one overarching principle, God is love. Or another one would be truth sets you free. You know, have many, many expressions of how to communicate things that are true, that are overarched by the truth will set you free. So when I say principle, I mean something that kind of overarches the many avenues of expression that you might choose in any given situation, which has to be, let's say, digested and conveyed in a way, presented, served out in a way that meets that person where they need to be met. In fact, a really, really good teacher can say, can give a discourse, and everybody in the room will hear something different. My teacher, John Roger, does that. You know, he can be talking to, you know, hundreds of people in a room, and everybody will hear something slightly different. That's a really, really skilled, multidimensional teacher. Jesus did the same thing. Satya Sai Baba, the avatar in India, does the same thing. He can speak anybody's language of consciousness. And that's how we become truly effective teachers. But, you know, it takes a lot of living, a lot of working with people to learn how to do that. It's not something that can be taught. It's something that's caught as you do it. So don't be discouraged, because there's always more to learn. There's always another thing before you to practice. And as you work with people, they teach you how to work with them. You learn. You become very skilled as you apply your ministry of compassionate love to your fellow brothers and sisters. I was looking at You know, at the internet today, I have to talk a little bit about Google, since that's part of being true to yourself. And, you know, today we live in a world where with a click of a mouse, our Google search will bring up absolutely everything about anyone, almost without exception. I mean, if you live out under a rock somewhere and have never done or really stepped out there, maybe you can't be found on Google or one of the other search drives, but I think that would be rather rare. Virtually everything about a person can be found on the internet today. Do you know I've even found portions of personal emails in the many pages that came up when I've Googled my name? So certainly anyone who's out there as a speaker, writer, radio, TV, or film personality is really easy to find on most search engines. Even employers today often check out your Facebook profile or other social networking sites to find out more about you. I mean, yeah, wow, you may put one thing on your resume and then they go check out your Facebook and find out there's another story going down there. Now, because we live in a world and in states of consciousness that are continually changing every second, sometimes things that we say previously, earlier, in other stages of our life, in other states of consciousness, and other levels of awareness, come back to haunt us today. So it's important to realize that whatever you put on the internet is in the consciousness pool of the world. And it can come back to bite you in the butt if you're not careful. I would advise you that when you email, that you make certain you stay centered in your divine, integrated, higher self. And keep refining how you write your inner mail, your email, to where your smile shows in your words, because people only have your words to go by. So if you're terse and blunt and to the point in your expression, you're going to need how to cultivate the smile in your emails and the warmth that can only be conveyed in your words. And if you're angry or snarky or out of balance, it's your duty to clear that energy and not launch it forth thoughtlessly into space to where you would wound another person by that energy release. Your words wound, and the wounds caused by words often never heal. So I think we all have a very, very good arena to practice very clear, very loving transmission of energy, because that's what you're doing. When you sit at your computer, you are transmitting energy. You're in training for mastership. The first law to having any kind of power and anointing is harmlessness. You will never have any kind of spiritual power or genuine anointing until your words have lost the ability to wound. That's a quote from the very, very ancient arcane writings of the stanzas of Zahn. But, and that comes out of the Brother and Sisterhoods of Light. But it's something that we're taught in all the mystery schools and all the ancient ashrams and lineages that we have been taught in, is the very, very great importance of harmlessness and nonviolence in thought, word, and deed. Even the Shaolin, who are warrior priests, they never wound a person for no reason. They are taught how to wield energy and to flow with energy to deflect conflict, not to promote it. So their art forms, their martial art forms, are almost entirely psychological and energy directive, but not for the intention of causing harm or being violent. So you can be a spiritual warrior and practice martial arts to avoid conflict, because we live in a world that's violent, with many evil people who would seek to destroy and harm innocent people. So we need to be trained in many cases in some of these techniques, if you are a practitioner of some of these martial art forms. But the purpose, again, is to deflect harm from the innocent and not to promote anything that would hurt another. So be aware that when you're not centered in your heart, you're dangerous. You're going to hurt somebody. The old saying is that wounded hurting people wound and hurt others, and that's very true. People who have been subjected to abuse as a child very often become child abusers. So it's important that we seek the appropriate things that we need to heal ourselves so that we can be available and present in a centered, neutral, loving place. So when we speak from our heart. When we write from our heart. When we communicate, or whatever it is that we do the three things that are called the gift of prophecy. The gift of prophecy is to build up and encourage and comfort. So you fortify, build up, strengthen, you courage, inspire, and uplift, and you comfort. So in the Bible it's called edification, which means to make, build up, exhortation, which means to inspire, and, you know, like me, I'm a cheerleader, and comfort. So when I do these seminars, I'm operating in the gift of prophecy, which is not to fortune tell. It is, again, to strengthen, to encourage, and comfort. So we're all prophets. We're all called to operate in the gift of prophecy, in what we say, what we write, what we do, how we speak to people. Remember that the only star commander, the only Jesus Christ, the only embodiment of God that most people are ever going to see on this planet is you. I mean, contemplate that. You may be the only angel that anybody ever encounters. You may be the only representative of the celestial hierarchies and brotherhoods and lineages of light that any given human may ever encounter. Be aware, there are no chance, coincidental encounters. Every encounter involves your Earth mission and the message that you have come to convey through your particular life stream. Pretty heavy, huh? Yeah, that's why we become trained in awareness to be responsible for what we put energy to and release through our thoughts, our words, and our deeds. That's it. Now, with our internets today, our social media, there's really no way to form genuine relationships or to evaluate someone's moral character or to establish trust. You know, or your friends on Facebook or your other social media sites or over the internet, basically you don't have a clue who these people are. So that's just the way it is in the world we live in today. And there are many wonderful benefits that we can enjoy in having access to the global community, networking and sharing our thoughts and our ideas. I think it's great. But I think we also need to determine if the benefits we receive outweigh the personal exposure. And it's realistic to be aware that the average egocentric human loves to dig up the dirt and to gossip and to slander people behind their backs. And be aware that if you're interacting with a person through emails or telephone or on the internet, and they are speaking trash about somebody, be aware that they're going to talk trash about you behind your back. So you're not safe with someone who does not respect the sanctity of another person's privacy, another person's being and expression. And certainly if they're not present, you don't talk about them. It's just not done. I love how my teacher, John Roger, handles that. You can ask him about another teacher, and he'll say, I never speak about the work of another. You'll ask him about somebody or something, he will not answer. He just remains silent. I love that about John Roger. He so models integrity in ministry. You know, people who profess to be professional counselors, priests, ministers, all are supposed to abide by a code of strict confidentiality with regard to whatever is disclosed to them. And in an ideal world, they all would. But today we have all these self-style counselors, untrained individuals who can, you know, for a few bucks, they can get any kind of credential over the internet. So you really don't know who these people are. And those who parade all their credentials and make all these exorbitant claims about who they are and what they do, they're usually the very ones to be the most cautious of. So know that trust needs to be earned. And usually that takes time. It takes interacting with that person on more than just the internet. I tend to, you know, be very open-hearted and trusting by nature. And it seldom ever occurs to me that a person is not telling me the truth. But yet, you know, the truth is everybody admits that they have lied at some point, you know, some point in their life, or even that they continually lie. And sometimes they call these lies little white lies. But you know what? There's no such thing as a little white lie. There are things that you don't need to say. And if you have to turn them into a little white lie, why don't you just keep your lips zipped and don't say anything at all? So people lie usually to protect themselves or to protect someone else that they think needs protecting. Or because they fear the loss of some kind. So it's fear. Fear is what causes people to shrink from the truth and to lie. But, you know, it's important to recognize that it's a commonly utilized tool in the ego's survival kit. So we're not judging it, but we're just recognizing that this is what's going on in the world today. Jesus told us that we needed to be fruit inspectors. That, you know, he said, by their fruit, you shall know them. And the fruit Jesus was referring to is the fruit of the Holy Spirit, exemplified by a life that's being spiritually transformed. So the fruit of the Holy Spirit is listed in the fifth chapter of Galatians, which is a passage, a book in the New Testament. And the fruit is ninefold. So get out your pen. Here is the fruit that lets you know that you're talking to someone who's operating out of the higher consciousness. Love, joy, peace. Kindness, goodness, patience. Faithfulness, humility, self-control. Or self-discipline. Sometimes they're slightly different in different translations of the Bible. But that's what you've got there. Now, Jesus said when we act from this fruit, we are not subject to the law, which would mean that we don't incur negative karma. Jesus also said that in order for us to produce such fruit in our lives, that we had to stay connected to Him. That if we did, we would bear much fruit, in varying degrees, but we'd be fruitful. He also said apart from Him, we could do nothing. Okay, so it would be a useful spiritual exercise to jot down that list of fruit characteristic of a transformed spirit-filled life and to see how fruitful we are or not. Is this email I'm getting ready to send fruitful? Is there fruit in it? So, okay, here's the list again. Love, joy, peace. Kindness, goodness, patience. Faithfulness, humility, self-control, or self-discipline. So that's your guideline. When you speak, when you write, when you email, when you post on the internet, is your fruit showing? If not, delete it and rewrite it and keep refining it as many times as it takes, until it is devoid of negative energy and really reflects your higher nature and your loving. I hope that's helpful to you. It's, I think, so very important that we represent Christ in all that we do. That's really our commission from God is to be little Christs. In fact, that's actually the original meaning that the Romans made up the word Christian, which was a derogatory term that meant little Christs. Yeah, it was a put-down. But it's exactly what God has intended us to be. Jesus is like the matrix, the pattern. And we're all cut from that. Our soul, our spiritual self, is cut from the same cloth that Jesus was the perfect garment of that. So be aware of people who gossip, spread tales, and slander others, for they are not safe for you to open your innermost self to. I think we would save a lot of problem, a lot of conflict if we just made a law. You know, Thumper in the movie Bambi, did you ever see that? When I was about 7, I saw the movie Bambi. And I remember the little bunny, remember the bunny, Thumper? He thumped its little foot on the ground and he said, I think he was talking to the skunk and Flower. And he said, if you can't say something nice about somebody, don't say anything at all. I think we need to write that on our mirror, on our, you know, wherever we're going to see it. If you can't say something nice that strengthens, encourages, comforts, or somehow enhances a person, don't say anything at all. Zip it. Now, you are a seed. A seed from the great central sun. That's why you're called a star seed. You come bearing the luminosity of the great central sun, which is the heart of the cosmic Christ. You bring that as precious, precious cargo. You import it from the highest God realms of divine spirit. And you bring it into human form and gift it onto this planet, into the grid of consciousness of your time-space capsule in which you are embodied. You are a kiss of God, impressed upon the face of time and space. You are His love, wrought of heavenly things, not wrought of the earth, but woven of eternality. You who wear the garments of the Most High, who are his visible image moving about upon this earth. Do not think that you're a fleshly body that's going to decay in a grave somewhere at some point. That is the fiction. You are to be clothed in immortality and restored to a resurrected, glorified body that will completely put on incorruptibility. That's when the dimensional shift occurs that shifts us from third to fifth dimension. That's what happens supernaturally, the Bible says, in the twinkling of an eye. That's the genuine ascension. It is taking the carbon-based molecule of which the physical atom is made. The physical carbon-based molecule is the 666. That is being transfigured and transformed into the silicone-based molecule, which is 999. And isn't it interesting that when we sent up a schematic showing to the extraterrestrials, we sent it up on the one of satellite things that rotate around the Earth. And it showed that we are a human being. It showed the man and the woman that we are carbon-based, and gave a little bit of, what we are. And we got a crop circle back that was the same schematic from space, from the extraterrestrials, and it was similar, except they revealed that they were silicone-based. In other words, they were in the transfigured light body. Isn't that interesting? So, just like carbon with time and pressure eventually becomes a diamond, we are destined to be diamond. We're destined to be crystalline. We are destined to be the precious jewels that will adorn the new universe into which we are matriculating as a race of Christed, galactic, multidimensional beings. That's the truth. So the subtitle of this radio show is Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. So it's time for the starseed to come out of the closet. But you know what? I think it's more difficult for a galactic ambassador to come out than it would be for a transgendered crossdresser today. We are gradually making a place for people whose sexuality is different. You know, it's not always the same on other planets. We have all kinds of different people and different ways of doing life. But you know, on this planet, we still are having a hard time with plumbing preference. We got to get over it. If you're going to move into a vast universe where difference is going to be the order of the day, we've got to get used to different strokes for different folks, different bodily configurations, different worldviews, different planetary conditions, different lifestyles, different forms of mating and marrying and having children or not, different ways of understanding God. We've got to really expand our paradigm here and open up. Don't be afraid to live. Don't be afraid to be yourself. And don't squish yourself down to accommodate somebody else's impoverished point of view, impoverished consciousness. So you are a multidimensional, divine, Christ-conscious spirit here to birth planet Earth into a more enlightened and loving state of consciousness. And having said that, what many of us have discovered is there is no place in this world yet where we are really openly welcomed, and in most places not even acknowledged as who and what we are. If I had time, I would share a personal experience. But just suffice it to say, I've discovered that if you want to fit into this world, you're going to have to claim your space and make a place for yourself, because otherwise there isn't going to be a place unless you create it for yourself. I've basically done that with my life. I have created my own ministry, my own message, my own walk, my own unique way of being, and because I didn't fit anywhere, never fit anywhere, ever, completely. And I think that's because I wasn't meant to. And I don't think that you're meant to either. So what was revealed to me was the need for Bible and gospel-honoring, Christ-centered, cosmic visionaries and churches, pastors, counselors, and ministers with deeper cosmic understanding. And if I'm a devoted Venusian, devoted Christian that also happens to be a Venusian most recently, then there are others out there too. You know, I remember in the old days, George Van Tassel, Ashtar's first contact, Tuwela, the first one that really brought the Ashtar Command out into the awareness of the modern days, Dr. Frank Strange's, my own spiritual mentor, Dr. John Roger, all have taught the Bible with cosmically expanded awareness and understanding. And there were many others in the early years, and they all taught cosmic Christianity. And we have Commander Valiant Thor. We have Commander Ashtar also teaching the gospel message of Christ with a universal approach. So, you know, when the going gets tough, trust God. Trust yourself. And know that that God that loves you so very much is never going to leave you stranded, but will take you from where you are to where you need to be if you just trust Him. But turn to Him continually for your guidance. Be true to yourself, speak your truth, and don't allow those still studying the ABC primer of spiritual, spirituality 101 to cause you to doubt yourself. To your own self be true. And if you are, you will be pleasing God and fulfilling your higher purpose in coming here on Earth assignment. So that's that for this evening. Let's go out chanting. Let's do the name of Jesus. Let's do it in Hebrew. Yeshuah. Deep breath. Hashem Adonai. Blessed is the name of the Lord. God bless you. You've been listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command with Commander Lady Athena. God willing, I will be with you next week, the same time. Adonai.